Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 306, a two-part series titled Another Look at Global Fascism. This is being recorded on May 16th of the year 2001. We're going to begin by taking a look at an op-ed column from the Los Angeles Times, which discusses some Arab propaganda that has been increasing in apparent in frequency and virulence as tensions in the Middle East have heightened following the breakdown of the peace process. As I've noted in the past of discussions of tensions in the Middle East, both the heritage of the Israeli far right and the heritage of much of the Palestinian national movement and other nationalist movements in the Middle East date back to the fascism of pre-World War II and World War II, and also to a certain extent post-World War II as well. Some of the discussions that we've had concerning the recent and vitally important book Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Post-War Fascist International, authored by Kevin Coogan, go into that at considerable length. There are numerous other broadcasts available from Spitfire that go into that subject. And at the end of this side and the other side, time permitting, I'm going to give several web addresses at which you can access either printed descriptions, detailed annotated descriptions of many of these broadcasts, and or real audio files of some of the programs themselves. We're going to begin, as I said, by taking a look at an op-ed column that appeared in the LA Times of Tuesday, May 15th of the year 2001. This is by an Israeli author and columnist named Yossi Klein Halevi, and after discussing the fear that he and his father felt looking at newsreel footage or at broadcast footage of Arab crowds prior to the 1967 war chanting their hatred of Israel and brandishing skulls and so forth, he writes, skipping down, this, by the way, the column is titled Dance of Death Overtakes the Arab World. And the column reads in part as follows, skipping down. A new hit song on Egyptian radio stations proclaims, quote, I hate Israel, unquote. State-controlled newspapers vie with each other to spread the most astonishing lies, including the medieval notion that Jews use the blood of murdered Gentile children for matzah, the theme of a popular book written by Syrian Defense Minister Mustafa Talas that is about to be turned into an Egyptian film that is being touted as the Arab response to Schindler's List. The Arab world has become obsessed with the Holocaust, and two camps have emerged. One camp, which includes the government-controlled newspapers of Syria, Lebanon, and the Palestinian Authority, argues that the Holocaust never happened. The other camp, which includes at least one government newspaper in Egypt, acknowledges that the Holocaust did happen and is grateful to Hitler for implementing it. Indeed, nowhere except in the Arab world is both Holocaust denial and admiration for the final solution as mainstream, including among intellectuals. Almost every morning I find on my computer screen another message of hate, courtesy of the Middle East Media Research Institute, a Washington-based group specializing in translations of the Arab press. MEMRI wisely refrains from attaching commentaries to its translations and allows the articles to speak for themselves. Here is a small sample of what has recently come across my screen. Ahmed Ragab, R-A-G-A-B, in his daily column in the Egyptian government-sponsored newspaper Al-Akhbar of April 20th, quote, Thanks to Hitler of blessed memory, who on behalf of the Palestinians revenged in advance against the most vile criminals on the face of the earth. Although we do have a complaint against him for his revenge on them, was not enough, unquote. And Hiri Manzoor, columnist for the Palestinian Authority-controlled newspaper Al-Hayat al-Jadida, April 13th, quote, The figure of 6 million Jews cremated in the Nazi Auschwitz camps is a lie for propaganda, unquote. Arab heads of state repeat calumnies which, in the West, only neo-Nazis dare to publicly voice. Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi recently accused Israel and the CIA of infecting Libyan children with AIDS. Syrian dictator Bashar Assad, speaking in the presence of the Pope, revived the deadly accusation of deicide, claiming that the Jews, quote, tried to kill the principles of all religions with the same mentality in which they betrayed Jesus Christ, and tried to betray and kill the Prophet Muhammad, unquote. Emboldened by the unrestrained Jew hatred, Saddam Hussein ended his speech at the recent Arab summit in Amman with this prayer, quote, God damn the Jews, unquote. This astonishing outbreak of hatred would perhaps be comprehensible had Israel annexed the West Bank and expelled its Palestinian inhabitants. In fact, the Nazi-like incitement follows Israel's unprecedented offer under former Prime Minister Ehud Barak to withdraw from practically the entire West Bank, uproot a majority of settlements, and create a Palestinian state with Jerusalem as its capital. And skipping down, armies may not yet be gathering against our borders, but the hatred can lead to only one conclusion. I recognize the signs, and I am afraid. And that again from the L.A. Times of May 15th of the year 2001. As something of a parenthetical element, if you think the price of gasoline is high now, if there's a major war in the Middle East, you watch what happens to the price of gas. Now, noting, as that column did, not only the degree of overlap between some of the arguments currently being voiced in the Arab world against Israel, and the overlap between some of that propaganda and the fascist propaganda of, well, really pre-World War II, during World War II, and post-World War II, note the following as we begin to examine global fascism. What we're going to do now is to take a look at an article from L'Espresso, researched and translated for us by Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, who discusses some of the pro-Iranian and pro-Islamist orientation of some explicitly fascist European publications. Once again, research and translation credit on this goes to Dave White, who got this from L'Espresso of January 11th of the year 2001. This article is titled, Fascists Who Read, and it's authored by Peter Gomez. The article reads, Holocaust revisionists, pro-Iranians, even Marxists. The multifaceted galaxy of the Italian extreme right is reflected in its magazines. Avanguardia, published by the Avanguardia community of Trapani, led by Leonardo Fonti, pro-Islamic, anti-Zionist, and anti-American. Contributors include Vincenzo Vinciguerra, perpetrator of the Petiano massacre. Orion, by the way, this is again a list of fascist publications and some of their orientations. Orion defines itself as nationalist communist and is constantly anti-Zionist. Published in Milan, it reprints Voro's cartoons from Il Manifesto. Uomo Libero, the first word is U-O-M-O, Libero, capital L-I-B-E-R-O, headed by Mario Consoli, who organized a meeting canceled by police to air the Holocaust revisionism of David Irving. Contributors to Uomo Libero include Forza Nuova leaders Sergio and Marzio Gozzoli. Puro Islam, pro-Iranian, supported wholeheartedly by the conservator for the late Ayatollah Khomeini. Last summer, Puro Islam organized its first Islamic seminar. Publicandor, a news agency founded by Stefano Della Chiai. Last June in Rome, he participated in a national forum for the construction of a single unit from opposing movements, unquote. Also attending were members of Forza Nuova, Movimento Sociale Fiamma Tricolore, Fronte Nazionale Italiano, and former Ordine Nuovo member Paolo Signorelli. As we will see either later in this broadcast and or at a subsequent broadcast about the election of Silvio Berlusconi and his political coalition, which significantly overlaps Italian fascism, some of these organizations, such as the Movimento Sociale Fiamma Tricolore, are part of the Berlusconi, the victorious Berlusconi coalition in Italy. Quote, in time, returning to the L'Espresso text, quote, in time, the thing that seemed like an impossible bet to the usual defeatists will become a reality, unquote, writes Della Chiai. That's Stefano Della Chiai, one of the most important Italian fascist terrorists in the post-war period, and an individual discussed at great length in numerous broadcasts, including and especially RFA number 19. Quote, but for now, we have to have faith and build foundations. Unquote. So So again, note the positions of solidarity between some of those Italian fascist publications and elements of either Middle Eastern and or Islamic nationalism. And again, for a good discussion of some of those historical roots, listeners can examine, among other programs, RFA 22, some of the discussions that we've had with Martin A. Lee concerning his vitally important recent book, The Beast Reawakens, and above all else, some of the conversations that, again, that I've had with Kevin Coogan, the brilliant author of Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey, and the Post-War Fascist International. And in order to just to better understand, I think, some of the links between fascist elements and Third World Liberation movements, as well as doctrinaire leftists or extreme leftists. Again, I think the book Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Post-War Fascist International, published in softcover by Autono Media and again authored by Kevin Coogan, is about as authoritative a read on that subject as I could think of offhand, and I emphatically recommend it. It is also not an easy book to read, so don't expect a quick fireside literary experience, because you won't get it with Dreamer of the Day. What you will get is a very substantive, in-depth, hands-on education about fascism in the 20th century. There was a very interesting article that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle about an Iraqi arms dealer who serves as a conduit of aid from the far right and explicitly fascist elements in Europe to Saddam Hussein and Iraq. This article was published in the San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, May 3rd of the year 2001. It's by Eric Geiger of the Chronicle Foreign Service. It's headlined, "Convicted Arms Dealer Funnels Aid from Europe's Far Right to Iraq." Subtitled, "Austrian German Neo-Nazi Groups Are Fans of Hussein." And it's datelined, "Sowjet unter Glan, Austria." The article reads in part, "Until recently, residents of this sleepy village took little notice of a portly, middle-aged Arab businessman living inconspicuously on the edge of town with his family, assuming him to be a successful carpet dealer. But Austrian media, citing security authorities, identified Abdul Monim Jebara, J-E-B-A-R-A, 60, as a convicted Iraqi arms dealer allegedly acting as Saddam Hussein's liaison with sympathetic far-rightist groups in Europe. Quote, "He calls himself a mere export and import trader, but Austrian and German security agencies see Jebara as a pivot of an alarmingly close cooperation emerging in recent months between extreme rightists in the two countries and radical Islamists," unquote, said Vienna's usually well-informed and influential news magazine Format. From his hilltop bungalow sporting satellite dishes and surveillance cameras, Jebara allegedly is coordinating unspecified aid programs from a network of far-rightist supporters in Europe for Iraq, which is still under UN sanctions imposed in 1990 after its invasion of Kuwait. What seems to unite the European far-rightists and the Iraqis are their common anti-Semitic and anti-American sentiments. In its latest report on the rightist scene in Germany, the Agency of the Protection of the Constitution, a sort of German FBI, said, quote, "The American democratic system is seen by the two groups as an expression of cultural decadence and economic imperialism," unquote. A recent debate in Austria's parliament seemed to suggest that since settling in Sowjet, near Klagenfurt in Carinthia province in the early 1990s, Jebara has enjoyed the protection of high-level politicians who are aware of his activities and background. Quote, "How is it possible that a man of Jabara's caliber, who is known to have close contacts to the extreme rightist and the Iraqi Secret Service, and served part of a 6-year sentence for arms dealing, blackmail, and tax evasion in Germany, was allowed to settle in Austria," unquote, thundered Karl Ohlinger, a prominent opposition Green Party lawmaker. Austria's 15-month-old center-far-right coalition government quickly passed the buck, saying that attempts to start deportation proceedings against Jebara have always been thwarted by Carinthian authorities. Jörg Haider, founder of the far-right Freedom Party and still its driving force, is Carinthia's governor. In an interview last week, Hyder insisted that provincial authorities have no power to block proceedings related to federal alien laws. Please note that Jabara's base of operations is in Carinthia province, and the governor of Carinthia is Jörg Haider. Umberto Bossi of the Liga Norte in Italy, part of the Berlusconi coalition that I alluded to earlier in this broadcast, is also very closely allied with Jörg Haider, whose xenophobic anti-immigrant arguments have sounded a resonant theme and a very sympathetic note in much of the European Union, and they also echo themes that one hears from far-right and fascist elements in the United States as well. Returning to this Chronicle article, in an interview last week, Haider insisted that provincial authorities have no power to block proceedings related to federal alien laws. He also denied media reports quoting Jabara as saying he knows Haider well. Quote, "I'm vaguely familiar with the case, but I have never met that man, Jabara, and never had any contact whatever with him. I am being blamed for just about everything these days," unquote. Among those reportedly spearheading the effort to funnel aid to Iraq is Germany's National Democratic Party, which openly woos skinheads and sponsors annual protests marking the 1987 death in prison of Hitler deputy Rudolf Hess that often wind up in neo-Nazi violence. The party, which all German Democratic parties seek to ban, recently proclaimed, quote, "strong support for suffering Iraqis," unquote, on its internet homepage. Again quoting, "The so-called Community of Nations Against Iraq is a structure held together by means of blackmail, lies, bribery, corruption, and violence by the satraps of the East Coast," the statement said, using a term far-rightists usually apply to the U.S. Jewish community. Also regularly expressing, quote, "solidarity," unquote, with Hussein's regime is the Munich weekly Deutsche National Zeitung. Circulation, turning to the inside of this article, 130,000, 115,000 in Austria. Its owner is Bavarian millionaire publisher Gerhard Frey, leader of the German People's Party, DVU, a group accused of racism and anti-Semitism that won 13% of the 1998 vote in the eastern state of Saxony-Anhalt. By the way, we've spoken about Gerhard Frey in numerous broadcasts. He's an individual with more connections, as I say, than a switchboard. He was one of the major funding conduits for Vladimir Zhirinovsky's early political rise in Russia after the collapse of the Soviet Union. It was in the Deutsche National Zeitung and Soldatenzeitung that the disinformation of Lee Harvey Oswald allegedly shot at General Edwin Walker was first published. This several days before that information supposedly first surfaced to the light of day in an interview that Marina Oswald gave to the FBI. Returning once again to this article, after discussing support for Jabara and for Saddam Hussein by Gerhard Frey, in an editorial, speaking of the Deutsche National Zeitung, in an editorial, the weekly attacked the United States for keeping Iraq in a, quote, stranglehold, unquote, and asserted that Germany spent $18.8 billion in tax money to help finance the Persian Gulf War, quote, even though Germany was in no way threatened by Baghdad, unquote. The publication also ridiculed as ludicrous horror stories, unquote, recent media reports that the German intelligence agency has new evidence that Hussein has revived his nuclear weapons production and may be capable of making an atomic bomb within the next 3 years. Openly pitching for cash for our Iraqi brothers, unquote, are leaflets issued by a shadowy organization calling itself German and Austrian Patriots, unquote. The flyer's signatories include Franz Schoenhuber, 78, the former Waffen-SS sergeant who co-founded the once surging extreme rightist Republikaner Party, and the leader of a Salzburg-based neo-Nazi group identified only as Richard R. Security officials say funds and commodities collected for Iraq on humanitarian grounds, unquote, are usually channeled to Jeanine Le Pen, the wife of Jean-Marie Le Pen, the leader of France's far-right National Front. Running a special aid organization called SCS, Children of Iraq, she then arranges for the transfer to Baghdad. The idea of helping Saddam Hussein seems to have a bizarre unifying effect on assorted extreme rightist groups, not only in Austria and Germany, but also in the rest of Europe, unquote, said the Austrian security official. Apparently, that's where Hussein's man in St. Viet comes in. That is the reference to Jabara. That reference, I should say, is to Jabara. In an impassioned plea for donations for Iraq, published recently by the Austrian far-rightist periodical Rule, Jabara was named as, or Rule, maybe that's not anglicized, the Austrian far-rightist periodical Rule. Jabara was named as, quote, coordinator for the aid action for Iraq by German patriots, unquote. Questioned about it by Austrian reporters in January, Jabara not only did not deny his role as aid coordinator, unquote, but also minced no words about his admiration for Hussein and proudly showed off a wristwatch whose dial showed a portrait of the Iraqi despot. Quote, "The Iraqi people are starving, our children are starving, and Bill Clinton, then U.S. president, is much worse than Hitler," he said. "The people helping us are just ordinary young people who finally recognize what the truth is, and besides, their ideology resembles ours," unquote. By the way, I would also note the considerable sympathy for Saddam Hussein and the Iraqi position in the American left as well. It's one of the reasons why one finds far more overlap between elements generally regarded as on the left and on the right than one might suspect. Continuing. Jabara, a former resident of Munich, was sentenced in 1986 to 6.5 years in prison for attempting to smuggle 40 combat helicopters from Germany to Iraq during the Iran-Iraq War, as well as for trying to blackmail a business partner. The verdict specifically referred to Jabara's, quote, close contacts, unquote, with high-level Iraqi government and Secret Service officials, including Hussein's top security officer and the chief of the National Procurement Agency, unquote. According to Format, Jabara also was questioned in the court in connection with the reported participation of German firms in the construction of chemical weapon plants at Iraq's heavily guarded Samarra industrial complex. The magazine said he was accused of engineering a hostage-taking plot in Iraq to force his release from prison. Jabara has vehemently denied both allegations. Jabara was prematurely released from prison for unknown reasons in the early 1990s, and his motive for moving to Austria is also unclear. But some analysts point out that before the Gulf War, Iraq was Austria's most important trading partner in the Middle East, with Austrian exports amounting to about $400 million annually. State-owned and private companies such as Voest Alpine, OMV, and ELIN, all in capitals, ELIN, did large-scale business in the fields of manufactured goods, oil, and power plant construction, respectively. The Gulf War and the embargo ended the Austrian-Iraqi trade almost completely, and that's why it was with satisfaction that the easing of the sanctions in recent years was registered here, unquote, said the Vienna Daily Standard. That, again, from the San Francisco Chronicle of Thursday, May 3rd of the year 2001. And again, we've talked about Saddam Hussein and some of the fascist antecedents of Iraqi extreme nationalism. There was an anti-British pro-Axis uprising in Iraq led by Ali Rashid in 1940, I think it was. It was during World War II, and I believe off the top of my head it was 1940. One of Ali Rashid's supporters was an Iraqi army officer named Karula al-Tufa, who is the uncle of Saddam Hussein and who was Saddam Hussein's mentor, political mentor, to a large extent. Saddam Hussein, by the way, owns Hitler's personal Mercedes, which is said to be his favorite car, and there are areas of overlap between the Ba'ath Party ideology and its extreme racist racial nationalism and the Nazi Party ideology of Adolf Hitler. I'm not saying the two are identical, but there are areas of overlap in the doctrinaire militarism, the worship of war, and also the extreme racial nationalism that infect both philosophies. And again, Karula al-Tufa was the most important political influence on Saddam Hussein, and he was an admirer of Hitler and was a participant in the Ali Rashid uprising against the British in 1940. I've spoken in numerous broadcasts about what I call the Underground Reich, and it's a term that I mean quite literally, a Third Reich that went underground and has perpetuated itself in a very effective, albeit clandestine, mafia-like fashion, using a combination of extreme economic power associated with the Bormann Group, and also other connections with secret services, and the deadly and putative power of post-war SS men and other people employed either as doctrinaire operatives or as mercenary assassins. I've also noted in a number of broadcasts, most recently for the record program number 293, about the fascist heritage of independent, quote-unquote, Croatia, and also the primary role that Germany played in not only the breakup of Yugoslavia, but in the diplomatic recognition of Croatia and Slovenia, and in particular some of the military aid that was given to the newly independent Croatian state, which had been a satellite of Nazi Germany in World War II. In light of the worldwide fascist support for Saddam Hussein and apparent connections between what I call the Underground Reich and the regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and also connections between the Underground Reich and Croatia, consider the following. Research credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This is a Reuters story. It's datelined April 25th of the year 2001, and this was... It's titled, by Reuters, Iraq Vows to Keep Close Eye on Oil Customers. The article reads in part as follows. Again, it's Dateline Dubai, and this is a Reuters story from April 25th of the year 2001. Iraq's State Oil Marketing Organization, SOMO, vowed on Wednesday to keep a close watch on all of its customers as dealings with Swiss trading firm Glencore International AG came under United Nations scrutiny. Quote, "We are monitoring our customers, and if we see anything wrong, we will ask them to rectify it," unquote, a senior Iraqi oil official told Reuters. Britain on Tuesday threatened to cut off Glencore from Iraqi crude sales unless it offered more information about its trade in Iraqi barrels. The Iraqi official said he understood the situation with the UN was resolved after Glencore, quote, corrected, unquote, its letter of credit. He declined to comment further. Glencore said that the 2 million barrels of Kirkuk crude was only going to be stored in Croatia for further shipment to the United States, according to a letter sent Tuesday to the United Nations. The company's London trading office attached a form it says shows that the oil was held outside of customs in Croatia and not to be unloaded there. Quote, "We have always seen and will continue to be totally committed to fully respecting and observing all UN regulations," unquote, said the letter from Glencore Limited. Earlier, the United Nations oil experts, the overseers, said that Glencore's claim was that it was only holding the oil, in Croatia was not credible. So here it would appear, at least from the context of this article, that Iraq was shipping oil to Croatia for the use of the Croatian authorities. Again, that does not prove anything and it is not definitive, but it would certainly be suggestive of and illustrative of some of the commercial, political, and military connections that I have been discussing in connection with what I call the Underground Reich. The last article that I'm going to deal with on this side of the program also deals with doings in the former Yugoslavia, in which there are not only fascist, there's not only a fascist heritage to the Croatian independent state, but also a strong fascist heritage to some of the Islamic nationalist and ethnic movements. I've noted in the past that there were a couple of Balkan Muslim Waffen SS divisions recruited by Haj Amin al-Husseini, the self-styled Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. A major in the SS, a key Third Reich intelligence operative, and himself the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement. The 13th Waffen SS or Hanjar Division and the 21st Waffen SS or Skanderbeg Division were the two Balkan Muslim Waffen SS formations that I alluded to. Those are discussed at considerable length and detail in, among other broadcasts, most recently for the record program number 293, available from Spitfire. I've noted that there's been a recent upsurging of ethnic Albanian and Muslim violence in the former Yugoslavia. Note the following. Research credit on this to a member of the listening audience. This is a UPI story dated April 23rd of the year 2001. It's by Lulzim, L-U-L-Z-I-M, Kota, headlined, UN Security Arrests Car Bomb Suspect. It's datelined Tirana, Albania. And again, it's a UPI story from April 23rd. UN security forces in Kosovo have apprehended a suspect in connection with last week's car bombing that killed a Serb official and injured three others, a UN spokesman said Monday. UN spokesman Charlie Johnson told reporters the suspect is a German mercenary whose fingerprints were discovered near the scene of the bombing. According to Johnson, the unidentified suspect with a Russian name and German citizenship is just one member of what is believed to be a foreign terrorist network operating in the provincial capital of Pristina. We'll resume with this theme on the other side of this program. I've made allusions to broadcasts available from Spitfire, a tape and CD duplication service. They can be reached at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. You can email them at mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. And you can visit the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. And there's a detailed description of this program in that website. You can also visit Real Audio Archives that are being compiled by sister station WFMU-FM at wfmu.org/Dave Emery. There's another longer URL address. There are links to those WFMU websites in the Spitfire, on the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. This concludes Side A of For the Record program number 306, being recorded on June 16th of 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.